I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lenders approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and U.S. 9 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill in beautiful southern Tampa, called Bradenton, actually. We appreciate you dropping by to stop in with us as we start another great Tuesday night. I'm Bill Green.
I'm Rick Angie.
And we are ready to go. It's Magic Four night in the house. How many Magic Fours we got here? They're asleep at the wheel, but they're all eating. They had a mouthful of food right about then. We're glad to have them out. The Magic Fours, if you don't know what that is, it's a four-cylinder car that's kind of like right off the old roadway. You just kind of clean it up, dress it up with some good safety equipment, some roll bars and so forth, and you let the do they get as young as 12, Rick, or they got
to
be 14?
12 to 17.
12 to 17, that's what I thought. So that was awesome that 12 to 17-year-olds get to go racing in four-cylinder cars, get some seat time early in their career. A lot of them may be coming right out of go-karts, getting into the bigger cars and getting the opportunity to see what it's like. So we'll talk a lot about that in DeSoto Speedway's Magic Four program tonight, as we've got, I think, 7 or 8 drivers in the house from that program. We're also going to talk a little bit about the TBARA. They had a great run at DeSoto Super Speedway on Saturday night, and they'll be down at the Charlotte County Motorsports Park come this Saturday night. So looking forward to all the folks that were in the grandstands at DeSoto moving right down the street to Charlotte County.
It was cold at DeSoto.
Was it cold? The wind was blowing? That kind of stuff happened?
It was cold.
Well, I tell you what, we are looking forward to talking about a lot of things. The Green Mamba was on our mind, I think, for a little bit. Jack, what's up? How's he doing? How's everything going?
Well, I don't know. I think Bobby Deal's here. And he's got
you
got to
turn your microphone on. Your microphone on, Jack.
Well, push him up over there because something's up.
Yeah, speak to me, Jack.
You ain't making much noise suddenly.
Jack?
There you go.
We'll use the other mic.
There you go.
That one works.
Yeah, that one works.
Is this one on?
Yeah, you're on.
Good deal.
Just yell.
We're on the air.
You can talk about Green Mamba first, and then I have a question for you.
Okay. Well, first of all, it was just really neat for what all you guys did to get Doug back on his feet and
it's hard to say with Doug, but, you know, get the support to get that back together. It came out, and it was funny because he ended up firing it off the day of the event. Wasn't planned, but, you know, racing, it's always something all the way to the end. He ended up with just one little fuel leak, and we had the Viper F-16 team out there from the air show, and they just couldn't believe this wild man riding in front of the intake.
Yes, he had melted parts all over the place.
Well, we ended up having a Ford exploder. That's what Jason calls them, a Ford exploder.
Yeah.
It just literally blew it apart. It was most incredible thing. I hadn't seen it in years and forgot the violence of that thing.
Now, being the guy that owns the track and has to clean up the mess after it's done, were there like little lumps of metal thrown places and so forth?
It was pretty incredible. We had some good pictures that we had, you know, Bill put them up in Karnak and all. It was amazing that, you know, they were higher than the lights. These little pieces of aluminum, and that's what they were.
As they just melted away.
Oh, yeah. just like little asteroids coming down. it is funny because I looked at it today, and through the rain we had already new green sprouts coming up. The greenest part in the whole racetrack is the burnt spot.
You know, he's still getting email from all over the country. People, I mean, in the last week, probably people from six different states emailed him asking if they could help with one thing or the other.
And he's still far from being there. In fact, you know, we're talking about the possibility of the drag strip down at Charlotte County. And, you know, he goes, well, you know, we got to get permission, but this thing's a long way away because we got to put the parachutes on. I said, so's the asphalt.
So you're bringing him back?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what's the story?
He's going to come back for the in fact, we're going to have him for the 3 days. We've got a three-day Monster Truck Show coming in on the 4th, 5th, and 6th.
This is Punta Gorda, Ground Zero, Hurricane Charlie, all that. Down there, right?
Oh, yeah. It's there. It's the New Beginnings. You know, the green sprouts coming up through the ground.
And the people are coming back, too, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that picture with the helmet in the background?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, that's an amazing piece that Jay carved. And, you know, just to you know, give it a tribute to Earnhardt. And we've got one of the cars up there, and we'll have the 94 look-alike up there also, so they'll have a two of his champ cars. Eventually, we'll have all seven.
So when he comes back now, he's coming back when?
Oh, you talking about Earnhardt?
No,
Mamba.
No. He's coming back.
He's walking out of turn four in Charlotte County. There
you know what time it is, right?
You guys are rolling.
Yeah.
But so he'll be back May 12th. And
May 12th.
May 12th.
People don't realize he actually did laps on the track, correct?
Oh, yeah. He actually... That's, in fact, the Viper team, the F-16 Viper team, which is the level right under the Thunderbirds, were there for the air show. And they just couldn't believe this guy. And he's shooting fireballs up in the sky. And, you know, it's amazing how fast that thing goes just in thrust. And if that throttle ever sticks, he's gone.
You know, and they just start bouncing off the wall until somebody gets you. You have to run out there and jump in.
People
and
would
it
be even more amazed if they sat down and talked to Doug Rose for about 15 minutes.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh, yeah. He's definitely a card. You know, he's his own person.
Character. We were talking about
exactly.
That.
He's got some great.
There's a lot of characters. In
well,
Florida,
you know what was really funny? I had a guy call me out of the blue from Ohio, and he had seen that on Karnak and everything, and he called the track because he heard it was coming. And he wanted to know if it was the same guy that he had a bet with about they'd had a few of the Budweisers, and they had a fire going, and they made bets about who could walk across it, not knowing that Doug has wooden feet, you know.
Right.
From the wrecks and all. And this guy, you know, they walked on the coals, and Doug got all their money. He goes, that guy's wild, man.
All right. So now listen, we'll talk more about that. That's May 12th, so that's a few weeks down the road.
Yes,
we'll revisit
Doug
that again.
Doug will be here next weekend. Next week.
Next Tuesday night?
Yes, he'll be here.
That's wonderful. We don't give fees, you know, for booking. Our booking agents don't give fees.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Sorry, man.
But, you know, the thing I want to ask you about is you have the TBARA Wing Sprints coming to your track.
How long has it been?
2005.
Yeah. The people just absolutely can't wait. They can't wait. I'm going to go ahead and take the flags and tie them down
breathers.
So they don't turn knots in the flags.
Well, here's what I want to ask you.
Okay.
How in the world can you justify charging $20? How can you justify charging $20 to bring the TBARA Sprints to your track?
Well, you know, one thing about the TBARA, it's like bringing in NASCAR or bringing in an ARCA race or bringing in something. You know, they have such a following and they have such a program. you know, when we run our late model program,
you're breaking Joey's heart, you know.
Oh, now you're bringing him in because you've got more people going to come to the track. You're going to push the price up.
But what happens is you end up like the late model program. You know, these guys pay an entry, and the TBARA, they have their own program, and they're a encapsulated program. And they, you know, you just have to write the check. There's no support of suppliers or fuel.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, it's kind of like the when he the called Yankees the TBARA an encapsulated program.
He's a school teacher.
Anyway, the deal was that a lot of people have been talking about this all week long about it was $20 to get into DeSoto, but that didn't seem too irate to me. These people they cost a little bit of money and they bring a lot of folks.
It might, you know, Joy brought that up.
Just keep going.
This is a piece of crap.
That's right. Go ahead. Deal with it.
But Joy brought that up on the message board, right? Thinking that everybody's going to jump the bandwagon and say, you know, oh, that's
beat
awful.
Up on John, yeah.
DeSoto, blah, blah, blah. But the opposite effect happened, and I was very surprised at it. That the majority of the people are satisfied with that extra $5 for that show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I mean, as a fan back
don't
in the day.
Don't get any ideas.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, you can get charged more if you go see the Stones or the Eagles.
It's $5 more to go to a spring training game on 9th Street, the Pittsburgh Pirates, if the Yankees or the Red Sox are in town.
Sure, sure. Well, and that's part of doing business. I mean, the reason I went ahead on the Internet and put it out there a week ahead of time was to get everybody ready, and I knew that it would run 488 posts had already been on the other deal and crucifying John, you know, and, you know.
But they didn't get crucified, though.
Well, no,
that's
funny.
Thing.
It was a reverse effect. Right. It was kind of a backwash. And, you know, whatever the case may be, it's just, you know, were they surprised when they walked in? Was there advertisement ahead of time? And I can tell you, we're going to have Dead Man there. I've got Skull Crusher there. I've got the Outlaw Street Stocks. I got the Midget. I got the Dwarfs with an Attitude. So, I mean, we're talking about not just the TBA.
Dwarfs with an Attitude?
Yeah, but
it's
the... What's Dwarfs with an Attitude?
Oh, go ahead.
The Dwarf series?
Okay.
The Midgets with an Attitude.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Well, no.
Jack, that microphone is not working at all, man.
The microphone's not working?
No. Ernie Teague Sr.'s is now running that.
Everything worked fine 15 minutes ago.
Ernie Teague Sr.
You know, isn't the... what's the guy who... Who handles the...
the Dwarfs. Dwarfs. Oh,
yeah, gosh. The new concession trailer back there. In the back.
Oh, Little Vic.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He's the promoter?
No.
Dun, 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 dun.
You know what?
Oh,
he
God.
Can cap you.
Oh, I know that.
He'll take you'll get taken care of.
I know Little Vic.
Little Vic will put you down in a heartbeat.
Yell me for a shock.
Yeah. Plus, we're going to have the Florida Midgets. You're going to go there, too, aren't
you? You guys are killing me.
We got the little cars and the big... And that's what's going to be neat because... You know, people are going to be able to see something that they haven't seen in 3 years out there with the TBARA. It's just, you know, we had the USA out last week, and they're doing 13-second laps. And you know, that extra second's going to be brutal.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, the car count. You know, you got names like Ruderman and things like that.
Just so we don't get too far away from it too fast, but we're talking about people talking about the situation at DeSoto and the extra $5 and how people came to the aid of John and said, hey, this ain't too bad. This guy's doing a pretty decent job, and that ain't too much to pay to see these guys. If the same thing came up down your way, it would be the same effect. Well, there's a few people out there that are still negative Bobby dealers.
But
there are enough people that have already realized what has happened at Charlotte County Motor Speedway, that Motorsports Park.
There's still people that think a loaf of bread ought to be 25 cents.
They are realizing that, right. You know, you may not be the next Messiah, but you dang sure got them through the water without it slapping them in the back of the head.
Well,
so, I mean, you're working on it, and you're still working hard to make it happen.
One of the neatest things that we have going on is that, you know, every race we have a community type of theme, and this one is the March of Dimes. So you got the Winged Devils pounding the earth. You got Dead Man doing his deal, the Skull Crusher, and it's all about, you know, the birth defects in children.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a, I mean, just.
Don Ream, join us. Don, such a great showing with car count and everything at DeSoto Super Speedway. Really, this early in the year, sometimes you have people, you know, can't get their cars together yet, or you've had a few accidents from things happening, but it's really great to have this many cars still running and getting to the track.
And some of them are, you know, just getting back. We had DJ, he came back this last Saturday night. That's the first time he was there.
Talking about DJ Hosel because he got tangled up at New Smyrna during the Speed Week.
Right.
Yes, we got Brian Gingras. Did I got that right? Gingras, okay. I'll get it right by the end of the night. He's dropped by to talk to us.
He was our feature winner at Bronson 2 weeks ago, doing an outstanding job leading the points in the rookie points. And
I got to ask you a question, though. He brought out a car with a number on it that has some history with the TBARA. Did that have any effect on you looking at that car and going, geez, and making your have a few memories?
Well, you're talking about Larry Tyler.
Larry Tyler's number 99.
Right. I'd be honest with you, for some reason, it never, because it wasn't red, I guess.
There you go. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw it was
right.
Larry Tyler.
But, a year or so ago, Wayne Rudiman Sr. ran the 99 for a whole year also. So somebody asked if that was the same car, and it definitely is not. This is CSI, is that not right? They own the car, and Craig has been running with us for a couple years, and he's given Brian an opportunity to show his wares, and he certainly stepped up and done an outstanding job.
Charlotte County Motorsports Park, you think there may be close to 30 cars by the time we show up there. What will be any different or anything going to change? I'm sure you're going to go through the normal routine, heat races and so forth.
Right. At the end of our heat races, if we have more than 26 cars capable of running, barring any, you know, mechanical problems or anything else, we will run a B-Main.
Now, how many are locked in before the B-Main runs?
Six in out of each heat
Six
race.
Six out of each heat, so 18.
So, and then we run for the last, six places, so that we end up with start 24 then.
Very cool.
It's
awesome. It's going to be a great night.
We're talking about the Rudimans. They were supposed to be at Bradenton, and at the last minute they went to Pookie got called and went to Cecil to run the champ cars up there. He called me yesterday and apologized four or five times and said he would not hang me out, and he will be at Charlotte County and they'll have both cars there.
Oh, cool. So that's awesome.
That's somebody that hasn't been to the shows at all this year, and, you know, everybody knows who they are. So.
And nobody really got torn up too bad at DeSoto, I don't think.
No. Probably the worst, if you call it injury, was the 55, and he had air vent in the bottom of the pan, so I don't know whether he'll be back or not. You know, that's a questionable deal. Everybody else, I think, was expensive in some respects. There was a few things knocked off and stuff like that, but I don't think it's to the point where people won't be there. So
that's cool.
Hopefully,
it was a one caution flag. So, and it was a really good race.
Oh, so the people actually got their money's worth. It wasn't a 6-7 minute race.
Oh, and you know what I did when I was announcing the race? I stood up and I said, you know, how many people are actually here to see the TBRA? And there were quite a few hands went up and went up.
No doubt in my mind.
It's the show was awesome. The car count was great, and it was cold.
Yes, it was cold.
It was cold,
and I'm sure that did have some effect on their crowd. And you know, you hate to see that happen, but that's one of the items that I have no control over, and no one else does either, the promoters or whatever. You're just at the mercy of whatever.
Yeah. How does the heat races...
You're not there, baby.
Yeah, here. So how does the heat races affect how they start? How does that work?
Well, basically, the heat races are lined up by a point system, which is based on the... last four or whatever races that they have run. If they've raced four races, then it's divided by four.
It's a sliding average kind of thing.
Yes, and it's based on, and then the heat races are inverted. The fast or the high point car starts last in the first heat. The second in the point standings, or not in the point standings, but in the four-week average, starts last in the second heat. Well, you have to run in the top four in your heat race to make the transfer. And then you will, if you're the high point car, you start 12th.
So what's
the most that you can start? Well, normally you...
You're talking about the number of cars that we start in the feature?
Yeah, do you adjust that by the side of the track? Like when you were at like a Sunshine, you only started 24, I believe, but at DeSoto, it's a little bigger. You can start maybe 26.
Well, like I said before, we will start, depending on after the heat races, whether we have to run a B main or not. And if we have to run a B main, then we'll start 24. If we only have 26 cars at the end of that time, we'll start all 26 cars and won't. That's, you know, cool. Run them in a B main.
Well, that's excellent. And that gives the guys an opportunity to at least, you know, be part of the program and get
exactly.
The extra laps in.
Exactly. And in the same token, you know, you have to draw a line someplace. And that was where we ended up drawing the line, was 24-26 situation.
That makes sense. And the guys all know that, and the gals, they all know that coming in.
Right.
So they
right.
know
where
they're
It's the same cut and dry good, bad, or indifferent rules
reality.
Every time, you know. We don't...
Ooh, consistency. There's something that can be said for a traveling series.
Well, I think that's what's made us as strong as we are, because they know that the way it is going in. They know the purse. They know the way we do everything.
That's a whole nother show. Because, I mean, you guys are so strong and so deeply rooted, as I call it, into this situation in Florida and so forth, that when people even try to split you, take over, run their own little show somewhere else, it just never works. It's been tried 3 or 4 or 5 times since I've been back from the military, and it seems to never work, and you guys always survive.
Well, you hate to see them do that, and for what reasons, I'm not sure why. One of the things that I keep hearing, well, it's less expensive to run non-wing race cars than it is to run wing race cars. In reality, we do not offer just strictly wing race cars. If the promoter elects to
take the wings off, that's in the
and in advance, you know, we can't do it the night of the race or something like that. When we're scheduling and making the arrangements, scheduling all the races, we will schedule a non-wing race.
I was going to say,
what I experience is, you're going to run wings, right? Well, that's all we want to see. That's what the spectator says they want to see. It's not the club officials or anything else that have been opposed to running the non-wing stuff.
Popular demand.
That's basically what it is.
Have you ever considered making like at least 4 or 5 events a year non-winged and putting one at each track that you run at or something? Or?
Well,
the wings are pretty, man.
There again,
right?
They make the
if I ask Bobby, does he want to run a non-wing or a wing show? I can't go in and tell him what he's going to run. I don't tell him a lot of other things.
Well,
so
people out there don't understand why that is, that you can't tell them how to do it. But it's in the part of the contract they can choose, correct?
Well, it's not spelled out, but I mean, you know, we just it's been an option forever, and nobody seems to even
TBRA wing sprints.
That's right.
That's right.
Well,
and you don't set the prices, sprints. Don. You don't set the prices now.
I set the price for what the racetrack's going to pay the club.
Right.
I do not set the price that the racetrack's going to charge the spectator.
And that's as it should
be. Well, it's all economy, too. I mean, it's all, you know, each track's got its own cost and, you know, that factor, you know. And I mean, they're bringing in a, you know, high-end show. And they put on a phenomenal deal, and the grandstands may be full, but I, you know, with the weather being, you know, what it is, you never know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If you're still getting, if it rains all week and stuff, it's tough sometimes.
Oh yeah. Let me tell you, the worst thing in the world. And as a promoter now, I can tell you, because I was on both sides of this fence now. But you know, you can race, but you don't have to have people in the grandstands. You know, the racetrack's dry. They want to race. Guys already came down.
Yeah.
And you know, that's so there's good days and there's bad days. But, you know, it's not because of them coming in.
But you're going to be surprised, because you're going to have, like we've always said, the East Bay has 750 fans going to show up. I don't care how hard it's raining at race time. They're going to be there.
Well,
you're
750
have, you're
is that
1,000.
Magic number, too. 750 is that magic number.
You're going to have 1,000
for every
at Charlotte
racetrack.
County Motorsports Park that will show up every week by the end of this year. no matter what's going on.
And we're finding that. You know, we get the, every week they come out, and we try to do something a little different, a little screwy. You know, I mean, every week they don't want to miss a week because you never know what's going to happen.
There's a long tradition of that at Charlotte County.
Not the way we do it. This is a new beginning.
Done.
Don't make me laugh here.
Screwy.
Where's the money come from? Who gets the money?
Yeah. Actually, the racers get an awful lot of what he's talking about, but... That's awesome. Well, and that's good. What time Saturday night should everybody be there?
Well, what we're going to do is the gates will open at 4 o'clock. The 6 o'clock is a parade lap. We'll do the heats. And we will have the main event, which is the TBARA Wing Devils. It's okay to call you Devils. But, you know, they're going to be right at 9 o'clock in that range.
As long as you write the check.
We want to be able to have them get out there. And our crowd comes in usually about 8 o'clock still.
I'm in Mobile, Alabama. A guy walks up and he asks me about the TBRA. And he goes, do you ever get out and see that Tabara group? Tabara. They think it's all one word. Tabara.
There's a lot of people that's the way they
refer
do
to
it rather than just say the letters.
Jack and I used to do that for a few years.
And hardly anyone ever calls it the Tampa Bay Area Racing Association because you run out of wind. Yeah. You know?
We're all getting old.
Right.
We ain't got that much time left.
Exactly. That's the young kids' name for it. You know,
it's one of the neat things that it really made a difference of why, you know, I ended up calling Don was the people that have been down on vacation for all these years and have houses down around Ponte Gorda in that area, kept asking about them. And they knew the full acronym of what it was. And want to know when they're coming back or why not. You know, we had a wing show and a non-wing show, and it's not, they want to know.
After the wing show, I bet more people ask about them than before.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they saw those and went, wait a minute, this is not, what's going on here?
Well, you know, six, that wasn't, you know, it's a building class. And I told them, hey, they got a place to run. Yeah, and that's what it's about, you know. But there again,
you got to get that guy from that channel, whatever channel, that Fox channel down there, Channel 4 or whatever it is.
Wild Bill,
get that guy to come check this out. He thought what he saw was something.
Oh yeah. The same making Bisquick.
Yeah, let him stand out there on the track.
Let him come and stand where Jack would.
Make him the Grand Marshal. Put him in the flag stand. Let him feel what's going on.
No, let him stand where Jack was.
Jack didn't stand there long, though.
Yeah, Jack wouldn't go out there with me.
I might try it again. I might.
Yeah, okay.
Bobby,
you'll climb back up in the flag stand in Auburndale.
You should be able to move
quicker
than I do.
We are moving in on the first break here, I bet. But, Bobby, thanks for dropping in.
Hey, anytime. You guys are the best. Thank you very much for support.
Don, don't go far. We're going to have you back in a little while.
All right.
So we always say that.
We're going to rattle you some more.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Hi, I'm Rob Partolo, driver of the 93 ASA late model, and you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847.
Evergreen.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and U.S. 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom-designed websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
A little bit. Oh, I'm a lot. Under.
Welcome back to the Snip River Grill, ladies and gentlemen. A Real Racing USA coming back at you. How's everybody doing? Are we getting a little bit better in here? All right. They're having fun. Magic Fours. We need to talk about them a little bit. Rick, you can help me out with this, but they are four-cylinder cars. The kids are 12 to 17 years of age, and they run on not the big oval at DeSoto Super Speedway, but the inner oval. So
the inner oval, right.
Is it considered an eighth mile or what? I don't know.
It's an inner oval.
Inner oval.
We haven't ever measured it.
We never measured it. Okay.
It's the Magic Four track.
So in Magic Fours, folks, it's pretty easy to get into, it looks like, because we're going to talk first off to the number 20 machine, Austin Carvey. He's the driving the Cool It Man Special, and he's out of Parrish. And Austin, you drug your car in for the very first night of racing Saturday night. I got to see you get there. You had to go through the basic inspections for safety and so forth. What did you think of finally getting your car out on the track after so many weeks of working on it and trying to get it ready?
I was happy to get out there because I've been waiting for so long to go race.
Well, now, what made you want to get into this? What gave you the drive to go, Mom, Dad, whoever, I want a car and I want to go racing?
Well, my grandpa, he's been taking me to the NASCAR tracks I've been to three since I was little because my bigger brothers never wanted to race. And then this class came along, and I said, Dad, I want to be in that.
How old are you, Austin?
I'm 12.
12 years old?
And by how many months? Coming up on 13?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're into it a little bit. You came out, you saw the Magic Fours actually race, and did you get to look at the cars in the pits or something afterwards and kind of take a peek at what was going on?
No.
No?
We didn't go in.
So you just started talking about, I'd really like to try that.
Yeah.
And you did. Now, you've had no other competitive racing, right? No go-kart racing except maybe Pirates Cove or something, but
no, nothing. Just around the yard.
Wow. How was it to really get out on the track for your very first practice, much less getting in the race with all these?
It was kind of scary.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because you drive down off that track, big old banking and stuff?
Yeah.
And then you try to get up to speed. Did you do a lot of practicing before you came to the race night?
I only had two practices.
Two?
Yes.
Okay.
What happened to your car Saturday?
Well, my uncle, he told me to put on the emergency brake, and I didn't ever take it off, so we were going out there, and I was going pretty slow.
You're wondering why it was going so slow, weren't you?
Yeah, they were working on it on the grid, and they had him put the emergency brake on so it wouldn't roll down the hill backwards, and he forgot to take the brake off. And so I guess apparently at some point you did think about it and take it off.
No.
No?
Never.
Well, you must have wore the brake pads down because they said it sped up.
Yeah, it did.
Okay, so now you need new brakes, huh? The back. Rear brakes, not a big deal.
You don't need brakes on a race car.
Yeah.
You don't need brakes on a race car.
We'll talk to Jessica Ostroskis later. Ostroskis. I got it right.
You got it right.
Okay, Bill got it.
I wrote it down phonetically so I wouldn't mess it up.
Phonetically?
Phonetically.
Bill's a phoneticist.
It may not be written the way you write it, but anyway, and she kind of made a little contact with you at some point. She was kind of trying to get out of the way and didn't realize you were coming.
Yeah, she was going to turn down in there. And
gotta keep it up there.
I was going pretty slow, but she thought I had already passed her. She turned down on me.
Turned down on you. How dare her. Okay, we'll worry about that later.
You going to hold that against
her? No.
Okay. Yeah, next time. Hey, listen, sitting beside you, driver of the 4X, Katie Lynn Reiner, correct? Rigner?
Rainier.
Rainier. Rainier. Okay, it's R-E-I-N-R-E-G-N-I-E-R.
You didn't have that spelled out phonetically?
No, because I thought I would remember that one. She's sponsored by one of our friends, Competition 101.
And that is who?
That's Stuart Lysette.
Good.
Competition 101. So what got you into this? Because I know a lot of people go, well, why would a girl want to go racing unless her brothers are racing or something? Maybe dad raced or something like that. What got you into
My dad and Competition 101, working with them for about a year, and I just got into it. And then I asked, and it happened.
Ask, and thou shalt receive.
Yep.
You hear that out there, kids? Ask, and thou shalt receive.
Well, ask nicely.
Yeah, ask nicely. There you go. Hey, listen, now, one of the things about going out and racing is it's a little intimidating, and even Austin said that he, you know, was a little scared at first. Now, you got out for your practice, I take it, on Saturday night. What happened?
I just couldn't do it. I was so scared, and nerves got the best of me, and chickened out.
So, I mean, literally, people should realize that you can go at your own pace. It's not like we're going to buy you a car and we're going to make you race it.
Everyone was understanding. They understood it's a hard. They all tried, and I just couldn't do it.
Now, you said you had not had any competitive racing before this either.
Not at all.
So just getting out there was kind of a trick. Now, you've watched it a lot, apparently, because you've been to the races with Dad.
Oh, yeah.
So what kind of races were you at most of the time before you saw these Magic Fours and got interested in them?
Just late model races at Citrus and DeSoto, like every weekend, and I loved it, and I really wanted to do it. I thought it would be really cool and awesome. Good experience.
So what was the first opportunity to go, Dad or Mom, whoever you had to talk to first, I really want to try this, I really want to get a Magic Four?
Well, they went out to the races one week and I didn't go, and they saw the class and they thought it would be very good for me. Well, my dad sat down and talked to me, and he asked if I wanted to do it, and I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. So they found me a car, and it happened.
So you hadn't seen the Magic Fours run?
No, I didn't see them until my car was made and ready to go.
Who built your car?
My dad and Competition 101 Stewart and Mike, a whole bunch of our friends. They got into it.
So you drug it out to the track. How many, did you go to any practice nights and so forth?
I didn't go to any practice nights. We ran out the track one weekend, and that was my only practice with no cars, so just by myself.
So you had built up some confidence running by yourself?
Yeah, a little bit of confidence by myself.
Okay. So, but when you got out there with 6 or 8, 12 others during practice, it got a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, actually, I didn't go to practice. I didn't even get out to that. I was too nervous.
Getting it off the trailer, you got scared?
Well, Tech scared the crap out of me.
Okay, Tech at DeSoto. Let's be a little easier on the kids.
Tech scared the crap out of you.
Tech was, yeah.
You know, the Best Brothers told me that one time.
What did he say to you, or what was happening that they got you a little nervous?
My car just wasn't perfect to fit their standards, and they made me feel bad.
It was your car.
What wasn't perfect?
We had a couple things taken out of it we shouldn't have, and
What did you take out that you shouldn't take out?
The alternator. The alternator was taken out of it, and it shouldn't have been, and it didn't weigh enough, and yeah, the dash was took out of it, and it shouldn't have been.
On the dashboard.
The dash. Yeah.
Are we putting those things back in?
Yes, that's what we're working on. That's why I can't race. Okay.
Well, now, that's not your fault. Apparently,
yeah.
Dad in the Competition 101 forgot to read the Magic Four
exactly.
rules.
Exactly.
So, but that it's got to be pretty cool. I mean, what did you tell the kids at school when you started getting this car together and it was started coming together?
I was really excited, so I told them, and they thought it was a little weird. They didn't think girls could race, and I got that told that all the time, and just have to show them.
Did any of them come out to see your race and then didn't see your race?
No, none of them came out.
So you haven't gotten a hard time at school? Or
yeah.
Anything. That's good.
They call me chicken, and but I can take it.
Okay. Austin, have you been talking to the kids at school about your racing and getting ready to go racing?
Yeah. They don't really believe me, though.
They don't believe you? Well, tell them to come on out. What's the deal?
But if they do come out, though.
Where you go to school?
Actually, Palmetto Christian.
Cool. They should be able to get a whole busload to come out. In heaven. Come out there and hang out and watch. What's the anybody at school, like your best friend at school, has he been trying to think about coming out to see you race? Or?
Yeah, they've been trying to come over to my house and trying to go out there with me.
Be careful. They'll want to drive the car around the yard or something. That won't work out too well. Well, I think it's cool that you got started in racing even at 12. And how old are you? I forgot to even ask.
I'm 13.
13. So, I mean, it's kind of neat that you're getting started in racing. And I'm sure you'll build up a little courage as you go. And it's just one of those things, like I told you on Saturday night. You just got to go out there and do it. Any reservations when you drove onto the track and everybody was on the track for the feature event? Did you really think, ooh, maybe I shouldn't be here yet?
No.
No, you thought you were in the right place?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you what, it's awesome to have you guys out here. And let's not forget that I know you got a few people that are helping you get there. Who's helping you out there, Austin?
My dad and my grandpa and my uncle.
Cool. And we want to thank all those folks for helping bring you down and stuff. And Cool It Man, apparently.
Yeah.
Cool It Man is your sponsor there. We want to make sure we take care of them and make them happy. Competition 101, anybody else? I mean, you talked about your dad and the rest of them, I think. Just about.
I have KG Graphics within my lettering, and I had Hose and Hydraulics help me a lot. So those are my sponsors. And
there you go. Well, see, you got this part down. You know, you're okay here. You just got to get not scared to drive the car. Well, I can tell you. All right. Well, thanks so much. Ladies and gentlemen, big hand for these youngsters just getting started. It's an awesome, awesome situation. Thanks again, guys. Wow. 12 and 13, mom and dad buying them not only not a car to go to school in or get them, make them a little less hassle around the house. They're buying them a race car. How cool is this? Got a bunch of them out there, Rick.
Sounds expensive.
Yeah. What is there in this class, Rick? About 20 or so cars, you think?
Yeah, probably.
Total? I mean, not that they're all there all the time.
About 20 of them raced, yeah.
Wow.
And they're fun. I mean, they are fun to watch, man. These kids get it. they get out there and they get it.
Well, we'll go away, come right back. We will be bringing up a couple more, a little older, a little more more seasoned veterans of the Magic Four. So don't go away.
I wasn't ready for that, Bill.
Oh, sorry, boss. I thought you were. You started.
Yeah, go ahead now.
Okay.
Okay, we're going.
Don't go far. We'll be right back with Real Dead Racing
air.
USA.
Dead air. Here it comes. Ready?
Sure. 3, 2,
sound.
One. Start.
Hi, I'm Anthony Camby, driver of the number 81 Waterside Realty Royalties Fast Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Okay. Next up.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company Late Model and Open Wheel Modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
If you want to talk to Bill, Jack, and Rick right now, get to the phone and dial 941-748-3490 and join the show live on air.
Short Track America reserves the right to answer stupid questions with even more stupidity.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA, ladies and gentlemen. We are still live at the Snook River Grill and having a blast with the Magic 4.9 out of DeSoto Super Speedway, the 12 to 17-year-olds in the four-cylinder starter class. Rick, this is a blast, man. I imagine calling the races, like you said, must be really cool because you get to see them kind of grow, too.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now, sitting down with us, Albert Nail and Bill Lake, and they are cousins out of... you guys are actually out of what town?
I'm at Largo.
Okay, get that really close and turn
it
on.
I'm at Largo.
Largo. And you're, where you consider yourself from? What's up?
Seminole.
Seminole and Largo. So you're close enough to be really good cousins, but not so close as you really bug the hell out of each other. That's what I'm saying. Okay, that's good. So how are things going when it comes to your actual racing? You guys have been at this about a year now or a little over?
A year and whatever.
You got to have this thing
races.
Close to you.
A year whatever we've done so far.
A year? So, and you just finished third Saturday night, so you must be getting better at it.
Yeah.
Are you better than the cuz?
Yeah, I got a new car, that's why.
I got a new car, okay. That's why. Soft-spoken. G&E Transmission out of Ellington is your sponsor. You both live in St. Petersburg. I mean, I don't know. How'd you get that one?
We were at the races, and Bossman owns the 35 and 67 cars. And we had the same colors almost, so he decided to go with the boys because we always help everyone. He wanted to help us.
Awesome. So I just picked him up in the pits. That's kind of cool. I like that. That's a good idea. Now, what's the competition really like, guys? We know we've talked to the younger kids coming up. They're just starting. They're a little nervous, a little scared, a little apprehensive. Is it really down and dirty after you've been there a year?
Yeah, like up in the front, the first three... You got to race hard. You can't give any. You got to go.
Are you learning to do a lot of tricks, maneuvers, where you're staying outside through the corner and then coming back down in the middle down the stretch or doing anything weird to make things happen and get past people?
About halfway through the race, there's like sand on the inside of the track. You have to go to the outside, kind of slide around and get around the turns.
Oh, so everybody, sometimes people get off the track on the corners and bring the dirt up a little bit, so it gets a little slippery. Oh, so now everybody's catching on. Well, I tell you what, it sounds like it's a great class. How did you guys get started in this class? How did you get into it?
It started at Sunshine with Danny, John Stewart, Dave Davis, all the Bomber drivers. We just started helping them in the pit, and then we just slowly started working our way into it. We used to have go-karts race each other out on the street and in the grass, and we just started racing.
So when did you ask for a Magic Four? Did somebody come to you and say, hey, there's this class down at DeSoto. You might want to check it out.
We were going to get Bombers, and then we seen the class. So we, my aunt's boyfriend, Rodney, he built us two Magic Fours.
The first two were pretty much alike. I mean, because now you have a new car. But
I had a wagon. He had a Nissan Sentra.
So just about any four-cylinder car can work in this class. I mean, you can make it work.
Yeah.
Front-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive, whatever.
Has to be front wheel.
Has to be front wheel. Oh, okay. Well, that helps. Another rule. You guys check that rule? Front wheel drive, right? Okay. just keeping them straight. What's the hardest part of the whole deal? What's the hardest thing about racing the Magic Fours? Is it?
I don't know.
Competition?
Just the turns, sharp turns.
Learning to finagle the turns. They call it apexing a turn, which is something if you go to Competition 101, they'll teach you that. But... there's tricks to it. So, I mean, every chance you get, you kind of use that outside and then drop through the corner and keep it as big an arc as you can to keep your momentum up. But what's been some of the tougher things? I mean, have you been wrecked by accident or by on purpose and just things really get you frustrated at it or anything?
the toughest part this year so far would have to be following Jessica with her broke wheel and watching her still in a race after hitting the wall and riding it.
So some of the folks just never say die, no matter how bad the car's beat up, huh?
Nah.
What's the program? What's the kind of plan down the road? A couple years down the road, you're going to stay in Magic Fours until you're too old here in a couple years if you stay there. Where are you going to go? What are you going
to
do?
Probably after this year, we're going to go to Bombers, and then up after we go to Bombers, up and up.
Well, because one of you is 15. That's Albert's 15, and Bill, you're 16. So at this point, you're eligible for Bombers. They can do that at 14, or is they got to
yeah.
be older?
14, I believe it is.
14.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So then there'll
move
be a couple
up the Bombers and get the nickname. You already got a nickname.
What is it?
The Hammer.
The Hammer and the Nail.
Wrong one.
Yeah. Oh, the wrong one.
Yeah, the Hammer
and
the Nail.
One over there.
Leaky Lake.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
No.
I was giving him a hard time because his name is spelled L-E-A-K-E, but it's just pronounced Lake.
Right.
And so I walked up to him and went, oh, they told me it's Leak, and that's how I wrote it. And he goes, no, it's Lake. So I scratched out the E. Well, here we go. Now I got that all messed up. Every time I print it or do anything, I'm going to mess it up. So hopefully I'll get it straight in my head. We won't mess it up anymore for you. Man, it's just awesome that there's so many of you out there. Now, do you take time a little bit to help some of the others out whenever they're showing that they need a little bit of guidance and help? You guys are the older senior veterans. Come on.
We actually stay by our cars so we don't get in trouble or get anyone in fights or anything.
Fights?
Last year we were in
fights in the
lot.
Pits before you even go racing? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
No way. Have you ever been banned from the track already?
No.
Not yet. Okay. Has that happened on the track? Somebody's kind of hit you hard and you know it really was intentional and you kind of like went and had a chat with them? Go ahead.
I didn't.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it now.
It looks like somebody has and they're just afraid to tell me something. Anybody get mad at Tech? They kicked you out or something? No big
deal. No,
he was talking fighting and he's got that look in his eye like he meant it.
He keeps looking over to Albert like it.
Yeah,
come on,
like,
man.
Okay.
Come on.
There's something you guys aren't telling us.
Yeah, there is something there.
Have you
what
ever,
is it, Bill?
Have you ever have you ever messed with somebody else's car when they weren't in their pit?
No.
Oh, no.
Just checking.
No.
Maybe there was some, me and my teammate, Christina Crawford, last year, I kept running into her and she would run into me once in a while. And we got in a fight in the pit.
Now we know what's up. So Christina's sitting over there in the corner.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it, but Christina looks like she could take you, buddy. How'd you do?
Yeah.
You okay?
I wouldn't even try.
Okay. It's got to be fun, though, and it looks like it's like a big family, even though you're all moving on to other things as you go along the way. There are really good Magic Four drivers already, and there are some that are still learning, so it's really kind of a neat class to watch because I'm sure that you have to deal with, if you're out front running in third, deal with those slower ones as you come back around. So you got to learn to work traffic and do all the things that your really good race car driver needs to know. Hello.
Yeah, you got
anybody
good
there?
Intro there, Jay.
Can you hear me now? Hello.
The first race, I had a problem with the first lap car I was going up on, and I went in the grass on accident, and I lost second gear. So now I know to stay on the outside when I see lap cars.
Stay on the outside when you see lap cars. Good rule of thumb, depending on the track. But well, I think it'll be fun to watch your progression into Bombers and stuff. How have you felt you've done? I mean, when you started racing in Magic Fours, were you winning right off the bat?
No.
No.
Okay. So now we've gotten to you're finishing top three,
yeah,
top five, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So as you progress, it'll be kind of cool to see. Will you drop back by and see us maybe when you get that first, you know, Bomber win or something?
Yeah.
All right. We look forward to it. Thanks, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, big hand for the cousins coming to us out of Largo, St. Petersburg. Wow. We're going to turn right around. We'll bring up Jessica and Chelsea and talk to them about their experience because they are the veteran female drivers in the class, apparently, as they have... Oh, are you new, Jess? I thought you'd been there at least
Norma,
four or five races.
Come up here and sit with the girls.
Come on, Norma.
Come on, Norma. Norma, the keeper of the Magics.
Norma's the keeper of the racetrack.
Just turn it on, flip the switch up, and put it real close to your chin. It kind of helps us hear you good. So, oh, here they go. They're looking at each other and laughing already. You guys hang out a lot in the pits together, don't you? I thought you did because I had that feeling. I could tell by the way they were looking and giggling. First, we'll go with Jessica Ostroskis.
Very good.
And talk to you about
let me write that down.
What made you want to get in?
How phonetically is that?
T-R-O-S. That's the problem in the middle.
T-R-O-S.
There's no F. It's just an S. How did you get into this? How did
you
decide to come get a Magic Four?
I've always wanted to race, but it was my mother.
Always?
Who said,
when it, at what age did you start asking to go racing?
It's probably been about 5 years now.
Did you get in a go-kart at all?
No. No? Absolutely not from my mother.
Not?
Never.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you, it sounds like you're having fun at it.
Oh, I am.
And you got a nice-looking car. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they did that.
Thanks
up.
Thanks, my father.
But what kind of things are you having problems with this racing? It's a flat track, so what kind of issues are you having when it comes to control or whatever?
Really nothing. It's just having to learn out there with some of the best people.
The leaders come up pretty quick behind you? And
pretty much, now that I've had 3 bad weeks in a row.
3 bad weeks in a row?
Yeah. First 3 races of the season, and it's just been all downhill.
Well, now I'd be amiss, Jessica, if I didn't ask you about what happened with the 20 in Austin. The poor kid, his first race out, and you initiate him by, you know, swiping across the front of him, going for the infield.
Yeah, I got tangled up with the 13 of Alex Patton, and I had a flat, and he just happened to be there at the right time.
The wrong time.
Yeah.
Well, she's driving along going, nothing personal. Okay.
Well, let's put it this way. We used to sit in the stands together, and we'd always used to watch the races. And he was like my buddy in the grandstands. And now he's out there racing with me, so he's going to have a lot of more pink paint on that car.
Ooh. The gauntlet has been laid down amongst the friends. Well, let's have no fights in the pits like others.
Oh, never.
Now, Chelsea LaJoy, ladies and gentlemen, is here with us. And Chelsea, how much of an issue has it been with the last name? How many people have thought, well, you're a prodigy, you've got all the money in the world to do this, and here you are?
We've had a couple of troubles with everything, but the season's going good, so.
Okay, but, well, with the LaJoy last name, are you any kin at all to the Randy LaJoy and the people that race?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
He's actually my cousin.
Okay.
So.
Cool. Well, then, do you get, you know, a chance to talk, even if you don't get to talk to Randy, there's got to be others in the family that hang around racing enough that have come out and kind of maybe helped you or something, I don't know.
No, not all the time. It's usually just my dad and my uncle.
Cool.
That's usually it.
Now, how did you get started? How did you decide, I want to go Magic Four racing, give me a car?
My dad actually was racing in the Pure Stocks, and he told me that there was a class coming, and I always wanted to race, so he just got me one, and I got into it, and it was just...
Come pretty natural? Were you ever scared at all when you first started?
Yeah.
Oh, were you?
Yep.
She got over that quick, though.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. Shit, she did.
Just bump him out of the way. Jessica, were you scared when you got out there the very first time?
Yeah, I was put out there with Chelsea.
And she had already had some laps already?
So oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, follow me. See ya. Thanks, babe.
Now, how old are you girls?
I'm 15.
You're 15. Jessica's 15.
And I'm 13.
Wow. And you've been racing almost a year now? I mean, since the class started?
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. Hand that microphone to her for just a second. Tell us about this class, getting it started, getting kids interested, getting moms and dads interested enough to put their kids in cars.
John decided that he wanted to start a class for the kids at the track that are there all the time. And he got on the board and asked the people on our forums board, which is mostly the parents, come up with a name. Well, he finally came up with Magic Fours, and we set it up for, 12 through 17-year-olds. And it's a learning process. They went out before they ever had a first race last year. John and our crew would go out on a Thursday night, and the kids would come out with their cars with their parents, and they would learn the rules of the track. And they just, something to give the kids something to do to keep them out of trouble. They're already at the track. They might as well be having fun just like the parents.
There you go. Now, I got to ask you, 12, you got to have reached your 12th birthday, correct?
Right, 12. And then once you've turned 17...
you're got to move on up to
you
something.
You move up, right.
Okay. Now, like Rick was saying, if you're 14 and you want to go to Bombers, that's okay.
They let them do that, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you can move up sooner if you've got the ability.
If you're comfortable with moving up, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't push a child to go into a Bomber car with my Bomber drivers.
Okay.
Not that I have bad Bomber drivers, because I don't, but the point is they're more aggressive than these kids are used to.
Well, and apparently not this one.
Well, yeah. Chelsea's top-notch here.
Okay. Now, I was not going to ask any of the kids about grade situation, because I know that is part of the program, though.
It is part of the program. They have to bring a copy of their report card every time they get one, and I turn that into John.
So he looks through them.
Oh, yeah, he goes
through
them.
Has he denied somebody that's been racing or said no, you can't
start racing? No, because so far everybody's
racing?
Done really well.
Oh, okay.
Actually, some of them miraculously brought some grades brought up.
Yes,
grades
they
up.
Did.
Mom and dad are glad to have that card.
And see, that's a leverage mom and dad also have.
No good grades. Don't go racing.
If you don't do good in school or you don't do what you're supposed to at home, you're not going to race.
Now, how many moms and dads do you think are getting the eraser out?
That's right.
Changing grades. Good.
Yeah, you can't go racing. That's pretty cool.
That would hurt the kids that are wanting to race.
I'm sure other places in the country have programs for young kids. And I know that even Auburndale Speedway, I'll give them props. They started the kids club. Must be 12 years ago now. I don't know. Been a while.
Hornets at Sunshine.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, I mean, people have done it. But this one just seems to have caught on differently because the track is smaller. You're not using the same big track as everybody else runs.
They're using the inside track.
Right. So it's got them slowed down.
Right.
They're not, you know, even if they're wrecking, they're not hurting too much equipment.
These kids actually have fans in the stands, man. I mean,
do they?
That follow
cheering
them.
Section?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you girls get, are you gonna, yeah. Do you girls get kids from your school coming out to watch?
Yeah, I have a lot of my friends that come and watch. They tell their parents that, oh, Chelsea's racing. We got to go out and see her, see how she does in her little
And then when they're going home, they're going, holy crap, that girl can drive a race car.
Yeah, just wait till she gets her license, Mom. You'll be where I'm sorry. Man, that's just awesome. How about you, Jessica?
Oh, yeah, I got my little fan club.
Little fan club, yeah.
That's what they like to call themselves, I guess.
Yeah. That's awesome. What schools you guys go to?
I go to Bogusiega High School.
Bogusiega?
And I go to King Middle.
King Middle. Wow. I mean, it's got to be, nothing can go bad of this. It's just going to keep growing.
Exactly.
I mean, even if when they get older and move on, there are going to be other kids that want to buy those cars. You sell that car and buy your Bomber or buy your open wheel modified or whatever you decide to do. Oh, no. Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to give them any ideas. Chelsea, where do you want to go next? You don't want to stop in Bombers. I got a feeling. What class do you really like that you see out there?
The DeSoto Pro Trucks.
Pro Trucks. That'll be awesome. That'd be kind of cool. You can handle one of those, huh? Give me a test drive, Daddy. That's all I want.
Pops is looking.
Awesome program. Awesome program. And got to give big props to John Sopracone for making this effort to make this happen. And not a bad idea. Hopefully a lot of tracks will pick up on it. You guys... got sponsors and people to help you out?
Yes. John Rogers Roofing and Sarasota Ford, Suncoast Webbing, Web Services, Nationwide Chemical Coating, CN Sport Boat Company, Valley National Gases, Kovac Motorsports, and Simpson Safety.
No wonder you can replace bumpers and stuff.
She does that off the top of her head in Winter Circle.
Yes,
she doesn't have that with her. Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Jessica?
All right, my sponsors are Sea Palms Motel, JCR Race Cars, also my idol, Jimmy Cope.
Cool.
And Jimmy Gianni Cope Chan. Is your idol?
Yes.
Oh.
So I wouldn't talk too much about him there.
You got to ask Jimmy. Jimmy, could you come out and drive the car, see what he's doing for
me? Don't let Jimmy drive your car. Okay?
Definitely not. He already tried.
Don't let Jimmy drive your car. That was like when I was offered $100 by Johnny Jackson to climb in his ARCA car. I said, I don't think so.
And I'd also like to thank G&E Transmissions as well.
Sure. Oh, that's awesome. Give it back to her. I got one more question. How many days do they run? How many times a month do the Magic Fours run?
Normally it's like once a month. This month, it's three times.
Cool.
They're running all month this month.
And
they ran this past weekend, and we have two more weeks. And then they're off a week, and then they're on for another week.
15-lap races.
We upped it from 10. Last year, they were 10. We upped it to 15.
Are we up in the shootout this year?
Probably.
Now, and they
I think
don't,
they ought to run 100 laps.
And they're, oh, God.
They'd be awesome. We'd have a big crowd.
Yeah.
They I take it they don't get.
Why are y'all shaking your head?
We say no.
They don't have a prize pool, but they do win trophies.
They win trophies. We give out trophies. And then at the end of the year, last year for the banquet, the top 10, I believe it was the top 10. I
believe so, yeah.
All got
savings bonds.
Oh, cool. There you go.
We did savings bonds for all the top 10 finishers with the trophies.
I would imagine this is starting to play into some of the sponsors' hands to where they would like to give, even though they can't give them money, they would like to give them products, a new set of shops.
Could do that. Can do gift certificates to somewhere.
Camille said she is working on that,
yeah.
For product and stuff. You know, the other good thing about this class, Bill, is it gives them the early lessons in safety.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
On top of everything else.
Yeah. Because I saw
helmets, safety equipment, the whole deal.
Chelsea drove in. She had a full Hans device on, everything.
She was
wired for sound, man. She was really going at it. Now, they don't get radios, right? They have receivers, receivers.
They have.
So that John or track officials can
talk to you. Because the officials can tell them where they need to line up when we have a restart, where they need to fall in, if there's a caution. Just like the big guys.
Yeah.
They have the same thing that the big guys do.
Also, they get normal 101. They got a meter at the gate.
Oh, yeah.
Slabs and numbers and all that stuff.
She knows them all by
heart.
Make sure
you got an X on that damn car. And
she knows them all by heart.
I do. They're all good kids. John started this last year, and I did as much as I could to help him out, and I feel like they're my kids. And that's what I call them.
I'm sure everybody out there does.
She calls the bomber class for kids, too.
Yeah.
They're just big kids on Valium.
They're special children.
Anyway, thanks, girls, for dropping by and talking to us. We know
no
it's
problem.
Kind of cool. And we hope to see you back. Next time you get a couple of wins in a row, you start beating up the boys really bad, let us know, okay? We'll have you back. Sound good?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much. Magic Four Night, ladies and gentlemen. DeSoto Super Speedway. Go see them. It is awesome to get the kids involved, and it's an awesome start. If your kid's out there 12 years of age or older and would like to get a start, just call the track. They'll be more than happy to get you hooked up and ready to go. Rick, we got to go, then we'll be back. I think it's top of the hour.
Hi, I'm Paulie Milam, driver of the number 42 Sprint car at East Bay TVARA, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angies.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development and Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen!
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates and they
they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and U.S. 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Real Racing USA, back live at the Snook River Grill.
Wow, Magic Fours, this is an awesome, awesome class. We got a couple of more gentlemen joining us from their home. They didn't feel like, unless they're coming up to go racing, they're not driving up from Naples. But Corey and Dylan Bigley, you guys make it to the phone? Corey?
They're not there yet, Bill.
They're not there yet. Hopefully they'll be there shortly. Corey? Dylan, anybody? Did we lose him?
I do not know. So, Jack, okay, what did you do this past weekend?
What did I do this past weekend?
Yeah.
I burned the midnight oil on a whole bunch of different websites we're working on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Any new ones?
Drew Brannon.
Drew Brannon?
And ExtremeStunt.com. We're doing a redo. They do... They work with Craig on all those stunt, Craig Clark, on right. all those stunts for movies and things like that.
Uh-huh.
They do a lot of movie stunts, stunt work and stuff, and a lot of stuff for Disney. And we're redoing their website.
Tony Monica told me he went up to Disney, that stunt show they do up there. He got to drive one of those cars.
Really?
He's got a buddy that does that stunt show. And he said he got to go through the studio and all that stuff. He said they
I wonder if Greg Kilman was reporting on it for ESPN.
ESPN, the club.
Yeah.
The club. When are we going to get to do that?
You can do it whenever you want, Rick.
So anyway, Bill's dialing. Jack's writing.
Oh, okay. So what are we doing here?
Bill's trying to get a phone call up.
Yeah, I was trying to get to... Corey and Dylan Bigley out of Naples, Florida. They run the Magic Fours also, and it was a little far for them to come up. How you guys doing? Hello? Why is it going away?
I do not know, Bill, but that's
I'm
not...
I'm doing it the normal way.
It's not on.
No, it was on green. I push the button, and then I hang up, and they're there.
There's caller.
Are you guys there? Are you still there? They were just talking to me.
I do not know.
Well, guys, I'm not sure what's up.
Sounds like the telephone's not working. Okay.
I'll try it one more time.
Try it one more time.
Well, they're answering the phone, boss. It's just when I turn them on over here.
So anyway, Jack, this is a different evening, isn't it?
You know, we have... starting, what is it, next week?
Yeah.
Next Monday, which I believe is the 16th.
Right.
The ASA Late Model Fastlane weekly right. show.
Yeah.
Yep. That begins next week. And we're also going to start in 2 weeks, I guess, it would be the retro racing.
We're going to open the vault back up?
We're going to open the vault back up, yeah. Only this time we'll do it right. And... And I guess here within the next 10 days, we're going to be broadcasting live round the clock.
24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Now, it's something new down at Charlotte County Speedway.
Yes, Charlotte County Motorsports Park has their own show
that.
On Friday nights. We're helping them produce it. We did the first one last week. Jason Beckner is doing the show by himself. And it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Bill, see if that's working.
Not there?
Doesn't look like it.
Yeah, it says this one's not on, is it?
No.
Well, what is the deal here?
No. All right. let me take a little bit of a break here. We'll throw this here and we'll throw that there.
Yeah, let's try a short break and we'll see if we can't get them hooked up because they're there. I'm talking to them on the handset, but we can't seem to get them up on the line.
Handset,
so we'll get that figured
out
in just a second. Don't go away, folks. We'll be back
with more
Real Racing USA.
I ain't got nothing ready yet. Yeah, we'll put that song there. Put this over here. Oh, can't put that there. Put it over here.
Can you guys hear me now?
That's not working.
Nope.
Not,
no,
it
went away.
That's not the problem. That's not the problem. A little bit of technical difficulty here at the fumble end. There's something wrong with this Gettner. There we go.
All right. Gentlemen, are you there?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
We made it work. It was like a nightmare from the past, but we made it work. Hey, listen now. We're talking to Corey and Dylan Bigley. They're out of Naples, Florida. Man, that's a long drive from Naples to DeSoto to go Magic Four racing. Why do you guys, and how did you manage to talk everybody into doing this for you?
Because my dad races there, too.
So what class is he in?
He's in late models.
Oh, okay. Billy Bigley. I'm sorry, man. I didn't make the connection right away. So how do you like the Magic Fours? Is it a lot of fun?
Yeah.
What kind of got you started? What got you into the Magic Fours? Are you there? Your dad got you into it?
Yeah.
How did he manage to do that? He saw the class, knew it was happening, said, hey, we need to build some of those? Hello. How about now, which one's older, Corey or Dylan?
Me, Corey.
Corey's older. Dylan, how is it to run against Big Brother?
Good?
Yeah,
kind of competitive.
Kind of competitive? Oh, come on. I know brothers are brothers, man. You're always competitive.
Yeah.
What's the hardest part about racing at DeSoto and Magic Fours, guys? Passing lap traffic, working with
staying
the
off your roof.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Who wound up on their roof?
Dylan.
How'd you do that?
I hit a tire.
You hit a tire.
Yep.
How old are you, Dylan?
12.
12. And then I take it that, Corey, you're older? How old are you?
15.
12 and 15. Brothers, wow, out of Naples, Florida. How long does it take to actually get to the track?
About 2 to 2.5 hours.
2 to 2.5 hours just to go Magic Four racing. That is awesome. That's really cool. Now, you guys got some great sponsors. Corey, tell us about K-Row Motorsports and Collier Tire, I guess.
Yeah. K-Row, he's the one who made all of our stickers. And Collier Tire, he helps us with our tires. He gives us tires, free tires.
Now, Dylan, on your side, you've got some other folks helping you out. What's their names?
Scott and Shelly Walters.
Scott and Shelly Walters. How did they get involved with you?
They bought us our Hans and Hutch device so we could be safe.
Wow, they helped you out with your safety equipment, the Hans device and so forth. That's awesome. Well, that's pretty cool. You guys, how long have you been at this? How long have you been doing Magic Four racing?
A year.
The whole year? You've been there since they started?
Yeah.
Pretty close?
Mm-hmm.
How many races you guys win?
I won one and two, second and a third.
One first, second, and third. That's good.
The night, the day that he flipped his car,
yeah,
they flipped it back over and he went right back at it. You have never seen Billy Bigley run so fast in your life.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he was hustling to get there, but I'm sure he was proud to see him get right back in it and not, you know, not fall off the horse and stay off the horse. Hey, guys, it's pretty cool, though, to all this Magic 4 racing. You got some folks to thank. Who helped you on the cars and stuff?
Yeah, my mom, my dad, my grandpa, grandma, BBLS, Scott Shelby, and Cairo Walters, and our crew chief, John Bazarone.
Well, hopefully I can talk Norma into coming back up so that we can talk to her a little bit, because she kind of knows more about you probably than I'll ever know. But what have been some of the highlights beside the win for Corey? What's been some of the highlights in this? Racing the Magic Fours. You guys have trouble at the beginning when you first started, you know, finishing on the lead lap, that kind of stuff?
Behind a lot of cars and you start in the back because it's hard to get up past them.
But you manage just to learn to work the traffic, huh?
Yeah.
Norma, how cool is it to have folks that will drive from Naples, Florida, to come to DeSoto Speedway to run their kids in Magic Fours, and that's the reason they're here? I think it's good. You got to turn it on, baby. Sorry.
I think it's wonderful that the parents are willing to drive that far to put their kids on a track to compete with other kids.
I mean, it's like two and a half hours up, so that means when they finish. And you guys stick around and watch the other racing once the Magic Fours have run, or do you kind of head home because it's so far?
No, we
watch it. So sometimes you get out of the track 11:30, head home. You're home by maybe 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Unless Dad decides to stay over because they always have the motor home.
There you go. Yeah, that'd be cool. This is awesome. I just think it's so cool. And the class is growing by leaps and bounds. When you first came out, I'm sure there weren't as many cars as there are now.
No, there's only like 8.
So did you guys actually come up and do practices too?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Drive up on a Thursday from Naples just to practice?
Fridays.
On Fridays. Well, that's... Oh, stay overnight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. That kind of makes a weekend of it. And that's one of the things about having brothers in this racing thing. What's it been like family-wise for everybody to be together on the weekend and go racing?
Very good.
Go ahead, Dylan. I thought Dylan had a comment. Oh, I heard the very good. Corey is a little more apprehensive, I guess, about it. Do you guys talk about it at school? Do the kids at school know about your racing?
Yeah.
What do they think?
It's cool.
Well, I know that...
have fun.
Now, you both do go to the same school, or are you separated because of the age?
I mean, I go to Golden Gate High School, and Dylan goes to Golden Gate Middle.
Oh, okay. So you're in high school, he's in middle. You're in high school, you must be... Are you like... how old are you?
I'm in 10th grade.
10th grade. So you're just creeping up on that 17 marker where you got to get out of this class, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about doing next? What are you going to do?
The DS trucks.
Oh, DeSoto's trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Another kid that wants to go to trucks. That's pretty cool. What about the? What about you, Corey? You going to stick around in the Magic Fours? You want to try to move into Bombers or do something else?
Nah.
No, I'm going to go
with
DS trucks, too.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. Well, you guys keep at it, man. It's awesome to know that you'll come that far. The parents will bring you, and you guys get an opportunity to go racing from Naples, Florida. And I wanted to talk to you just so all the parents that were out there knew that it may be well worth a two-hour trip.
I gotta keep my new phone shiny.
To go racing. Jack's keeping his phone shiny. But that's just awesome, and I'm glad your parents go to all that trouble, Jack. It's kind of neat that people would come that far to go Magic Four racing.
Yeah, I was there when they won their first race. That was pretty cool. We're still talking to the Bigleys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was there that night the youngster won his first race. That was pretty cool.
Well, what kind of did you do a burnout or donuts, or what did you do?
No, my dad wouldn't let me do a burnout because it might hurt the motor.
Don't want to mess up the car. That's awesome. Well, I tell you what, I know that you probably had a... Did you have a good time with it back at school? Did you let them know, hey, I won one, you weren't there, you should have been there?
Yeah.
Any of the kids from school actually travel that far to see you, too?
Sometimes. They what? Usually go with us.
Wow. That's just amazing. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll keep looking to see you out there, see you in the victory lane, and Jack will keep us apprised of when you make it. Maybe we'll get you back on here, and we can actually sneak you up one night if it's during the summer when you're off school.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yep.
All right. You guys take it easy. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All right, Corey and Dylan Bigley out of Naples, Florida, driving all the way to DeSoto Super Speedway to go racing. And that was kind of a neat thing. Once I talked to them and found out where they were from, I was like, man, they got it. There's some effort put in there just to go these 18 laps or whatever they're doing. And it must be pretty cool.
Go ahead. You were going to say something.
No. I want to talk about.
No.
As we get.
You want to talk?
I don't want her to go away. She was going, no, I don't want to talk. Well, I want to talk about some of the other things that are out there, too, like the TVARA when they came in. What kind of reaction did you see, not only from the fans, but the other drivers and maybe the officials? What were they talking about?
What do you mean? Well, as far as what? Everybody loves TBARA.
So, okay? I mean, it's all
a crowd pleaser. Everybody loves watching these cars go 30 laps in 8 minutes.
Wait.
Or less.
You're the head scorer?
I don't score.
You don't score? No?
I do everything for
you
the
used
computer.
To?
No, I've tried it. I couldn't do it. I told John I couldn't do it. I check the drivers in. I put all the finishes into the computer and do all the payouts.
Yeah, I thought you were a scorer. I was going to ask you what the most aggravating thing about it was.
Car numbers. I can tell you what my scores will tell you.
Well, yeah, sprint cars
it's hard because you can't see in the tower. It is hard to see the numbers if they're not real visible.
Yeah, got to be a big contrast on the cars and stuff. Magic 4s are further out, so they're a little easier to see, I bet.
I think with the Magic 4s, even though they're in the inner field, we've gotten these kids to make their numbers bright so we can see them in the tower. We've started them out with that. Because we do have to ask some of our drivers, you need to outline your numbers so we can see it in the tower or whatever the case may be.
We get some cars out there that get these fancy graphics and all this stuff.
Yeah, you can't see.
And the number looks like a blur on the side of the car.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it does.
It's crazy.
Or we'll get six number 22 sprint cars.
Drivers, do not use script when writing your name
please.
On your car.
Yes.
Use block letters. Because it's not how pretty it is, it's how readable it is.
Yeah, you want people
exactly.
to remember your name.
Everybody doesn't know you like they know Jeff Gordon.
Yeah.
Right.
Even his in script, I would
Yeah, that drives my buddy. It always drove Terry Wall. Drove him crazy.
Last question. What are some of the favorite things you like to watch at DeSoto Super Speedway?
I enjoy watching the kids. It's one of my favorites now that we've got it. And that's just how I am. The kids are more mature than the adults.
Who watches John these days?
Not me.
Okay. and he still has that thing where if you want
to... You're happiest when he's over there in turn number two.
Oh, okay.
There you go. That's what I was
Far
looking
for. Far away as he can be.
He's still got that thing, though, if somebody thinks they can be a better race director, then he'll let them try it, right?
Yeah, okay.
No, Rick won't let him.
Oh, okay.
No,
Rick,
I'm not gonna.
Rick doesn't let just anybody in our tower.
No.
Oh, okay.
He's real picky
about who's
in our tower.
And I got to remember to sell hot dogs or normal room of mine. Because John
Only
reminds
because
her.
I'm hearing a little voice in my ear on my radio.
Yeah.
Sell them food. Sell that food, Rick.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's still, I think DeSoto's doing a good job. I mean, everybody complains and wants to gripe about different things. And there's been some issues in the past. But he's really stepped up and tried to straighten things out.
There ain't a racetrack where there ain't an issue.
That's correct.
Right.
That's true.
And even if there's an issue, if they're talking about us, we're doing something.
There you go.
Absolutely.
And if they will call John up, John's been always one of the ones that said, hey, just call me up and talk to me. If you don't get me, leave me a message. I'll call you back.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. So it's always been pretty cool. Well, Magic Force, that's probably the extent of that for the night. But I tell you what, it's an awesome, awesome program. When will they be back? When's the next time they race?
This weekend.
They do race again.
She
said 3 weeks
weekend.
In a row.
We're racing. They race this Saturday. They race the 21st. We're closed the 28th. And then they're back on the 5th of May.
Okay, so they're racing the next few weeks in a row. So come
right.
on out to DeSoto Speedway. You can see the Magic Fours. If you can't make it next week, they're there for a couple of weeks. So that'll be kind of neat. Thanks so much to all the Magic Fours. You guys have a good time tonight?
Yeah!
All right, well, we hope to see you back in a victory lane and get a chance to talk to you again. You ready, Rick?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, buddy. Let's.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck. And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. C.J. Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
McMillan raced last year, so his rookie status.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Turn it up some. All right, boys. This is her favorite song, you know that, right? So we play it good and loud. She might get up and dance again.
Welcome back. It is Real Racing USA at the Snook River Grill, and we're talking about racing Magic Fours, and now we're moving into TBARA, the Tampa Bay Area Racing Association field, as this weekend is the return of the Dick Freely Memorial Race. Dick Freely, if anybody did know Dick, they realized that he was with them for so many years, knew everything about what was going on at the TBARA, and kept you up all the statistics. He knew every driver, how many times they'd won, how many times they were in the top five, how many times they were in the top ten, anything. Really? If it had to do with any kind of statistic with the TBARA, he knew it. He could tell you who won the championship every year since its inception. Just an awesome, awesome guy. And we were sorry to lose him a few years back. And the Dick Freely Memorial started out at Sunshine Speedway, if I'm not mistaken, right? You can talk to
me. Yeah, that's correct. I'm sorry.
and so this is like the third or fourth or fifth already, I guess.
I think this is the sixth.
Is it the sixth already? Wow. Amazing how long he's been gone. So what kind of things will there be anything majorly different about this weekend's race compared to others for the memorial?
There'll be extra laps. It'll be a 35-lap feature instead of the normal 30
So the
laps.
Fans will get to see at least an 8.5, 9-minute race. That's good.
Well, yes. You know, we would like to be able to say that we're going to go green, white, checkered. And, you know, we were real close Saturday night. We had one yellow. And you know, we average quite a few green, white checkers. So,
fastest one in the history, I gotta believe, is still the Sunshine 30 lapper that was done in 5 minutes and 22 seconds. We went back and reviewed the tape to make sure, but it just was awesome. And the guys are so professional about what they do that whenever they had a problem, they pulled into the infield and didn't slow anybody down, didn't get in anybody's way.
I mean, it's just amazing how good these guys and gals are, because Wendy Math has been running with you for a few years.
Well, naturally, they want to be treated the same way that they treat people. So, you know, if it's their night and they're up front, they don't want to yell and have Joe Blow run them down because of a yellow flag. So they extend that courtesy to everyone, you know, and it's a pretty good group of people to race with all the time. You were talking about Mr. Friedley. You know, he taught me a great deal about this whole program, and I was at a complete loss for quite some time. People don't realize what he did for this club. We just took it for granted. And so he's been missed, and, you know, everybody still misses him. But, you know, you have to move on and go on. Something I would like to mention, I was showing Jack some pictures while we were talking, that his photo cart is out at Knoxville, Iowa, in the Sprint Car Hall of Fame. I don't know whether many people know about it, but the family donated it to the Sprint Car Hall of Fame, and I've been in there and seen it on display, and it's sitting right in there with all the famous race cars.
Wow.
That's pretty neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. He was a great guy, and I know it was a lot of fun to watch him run around the track in his little scooter and take care of business, man. He got the pictures for you, got the, you know, information out, and was just really good about all the stuff he kept up on with the TBR.
Oh, it was outstanding. I mean, you know, he did so many things until you get ready to, well, oh, Mr. Friedley did that, you know. That was the way it happened for a long time. We were you know, you just assumed that it happened, but then you realize, well, somebody had to make it happen. And so we found out what all he really did after he passed away. So
yeah, it's amazing. And you got a driver sitting beside you, drives the 99. We talked briefly about that number coming back out. Brian Chingris. Got it right?
That's right.
Okay. He's a rookie in this class, but yet you've had a lot of racing experience. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, at the beginning, I started racing at, I believe it was 12 years old. Started racing motocross and progressed. I won about every championship from novice up to pro. And qualified for, and actually in Tampa, for 250 Supercross, Pro Supercross. And then I wasn't a millionaire at 21 yet, so it was time to get out of that and decide, see if I can do the same thing that I did in motocross and Supercross and into cars. And I had an uncle that built the old, back in the day, the Tour Modifieds with Bug Stevens. Did a lot of racing with him up north. And I was living in Massachusetts at that time. And he said, well, he was living in New Smyrna. And he said he heard about these cars called dwarf cars. He said, come down, we'll build one of them, and we'll get you in the cars. So I did that. And
Now, you ain't no short guy. How tall are you?
6 foot.
So getting into a dwarf car wasn't as easy as it may sound.
Yeah, it is really pretty easy. I mean, there's plenty of room in them. Everybody thinks that, you know, they're for small guys, you know, dwarf. They changed the name now. It's actually open wheel lights, but yeah. And mod lights.
You had to get politically correct in that, too, for God's sakes.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
But the you got out of those. What was your next step in racing?
I got into an open wheel modified. I ran speed weeks a couple years. I didn't run any through the year, just got in the car and ran the speed weeks and did pretty good in that, in the top five. Then I got to a late model and ran limited amount of times in that. Then I got out of that, quit racing actually for about 2 years and couldn't deal with it.
Without
racing. So then I built my own mod light and then was real successful in that. And I've always wanted to get into sprint cars. You know, they've always tripped my trigger. That was, you know, the top of the line. I mean, it doesn't get any better than sprint cars. And from there, I sold my car. I got some good, decent money on it. Bought a limited car. I was going to run with the USA Sprints.
Wow.
So after the USA Sprint deal, I got in that, ran, and they actually weren't running when I actually got my car. So I went and ran about 3 dirt shows last year, and then I was watching the TBRA. And
now, had you only done asphalt shows before those 3 dirt?
No, I ran on those the dwarf cars. I ran a lot of the national. I probably ran probably about 20 dirt shows.
Oh, okay.
I was real successful on that, too.
Wow.
So then with the dirt limited stuff, it didn't really take me long with that. I won a heat race and never did win a feature. I got second in the last feature up at Douglas with the FSCA. And didn't know anything about a sprint car when I first got in. It was a bunch of learning to do. They're totally Imagine. Different than anything else.
What's the now, how old are you?
I'm 32.
32. You're a rookie in the TBRA. What do you like about this club and this traveling series? What are you having fun with? What are you still trying to get a grasp of?
They're they're a first class operation. I mean, like you guys have been talking about all night, TBARA. They're the best. All the drivers that are out there, I've got a great deal of respect for everybody. I mean, it takes a lot to tame one of them, them race cars. I mean, a lot of horsepower and the handle, they're real twitchy, and you got to be, you're soaring on that wheel constantly trying to keep that thing going straight. And then another thing that I didn't realize what it took to drive one of them was you're running 140 mile an hour down a straightaway. You get behind a car, and you lose all your air. And a sprint car relies strictly on downforce. Now you're running 140 mile an hour, now you have no downforce. Try to keep that thing straight.
Yeah. Wow, it sounds like it's a big learning curve, but yet you had enough experience that you're kind of bringing it all together, so to speak, and figuring it out pretty quick.
Yeah, I've had a lot of help with it. I mean, I've got actually I call it the recipe that we have. There's everybody that's involved. Craig Kugler with CSI, who owns the car, who actually stepped up, and that took a lot to put a rookie in a car, a fast car, and. We've got Dick Myers from Ram Engineering, who's a setup man on the car, and he's the smartest guy in motorsports that I've ever, by far, ever come across, and he gives me a perfect car.
Don, are there requirements for rookies? Do you look at their background or anything?
Well, basically, when you come and run with a TBARA, it doesn't matter where you've raced in the past. When you race with us, the first five times in your life that you race with a TBARA, you're considered a rookie, and at the end of that fifth time, then you either are going to race for the rookie of the year deal or you're going to lose your rookie status as far as staying as a rookie.
But as being a rookie, when you first show up, then you start last, that kind of stuff?
Yes. Or? Well, it doesn't matter who it is, Kenny Adams or whoever, when he came and we talked about him last week and him winning 100 races with the USCS and all that. When he came and started running with us a year or so ago, the first two nights that he started, he had to start in the back. And if he qualified in his heat race, he could start 12th in the feature if he made the inversion, but that was as far up as he could start. And it would be the same, and I use the term A.J. Voigt, but if he came, it would be the same thing with him because that's the way our rules are set up. I mean, I have people that say, well, that's not right, but I don't know how else you do it.
No, you stick to your rules. They seem to be working well. So, I mean, they'll get over it after a couple of races.
Well, this is true. I mean, and there's an exception to, why maybe – you wouldn't start A.J. Voigt back there, but at the same token, you make an exception for him, and then you got to do it for everybody else. And you have someone that doesn't have the experience, and the club needs to see whether they're capable of running and what they're doing. And also, like Brian said, when you start out, it looks a little bit easier than it actually is. And after you get in there, I can remember asking a number of people when they first start, after they come in the first time, what did the gauges say? Well, where's the gauges at? I didn't even see the gauges. they're so busy driving a race car that, I didn't know there was gauges in there. So it's a handful. I mean,
they're doing so much in these sprint cars inside that cockpit. I mean, adjusting the wing, adjusting the brake bias. Pulling off tear-offs, gauges?
You're not looking at gauges. If you're looking at that gauges, you're going to be through the wall in the sprint car. Now, that just doesn't happen. Caution's about the only time you're going to be able to look
Brian,
at
Brian, being a rookie, what did you think of that when they said, hey, you got to start in the back no matter what for the first few races till we're sure about your ability?
I was fine with it. I actually was comfortable with it. I'd wanted to start in the back. You know, you get 26 cars out there, and, you know, one wrong move in the first turn, I mean, it's disaster. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, you get that many cars out there. And
when did you feel comfortable? How many races really went by that you felt comfortable? Okay, put me wherever I belong because I'm comfortable.
It took me to really feel comfortable in about three races, with TBRA anyway. It took me about three races. Then
Where did you start the night you won?
What was that?
Where did you start the night you won?
Started eighth.
Eighth?
Yep.
That's a good jump through the field.
Yeah. Not bad at all against those guys.
In warm-ups, I knew we were going to have a good night. The car was extremely, extremely fast. It was.
It's just got that feeling, doesn't it?
I knew it was going to be a good night, and I actually thought I would win the race that night. It was that fast.
Wow. So you've had eight races in 2007, Don, and you've had six winners. That's pretty good competition there.
Yes, it is.
Is that a typical thing going from eighth to first?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, based on last year's performance, the guys that were in the top two and three, starting 11th, 12th, 10th in that area, won features. So, I mean, it's not within the realm of possibility to start in the caliber of cars and drivers that we have, just the way the brakes go on a given night. There's probably 10, 12, maybe even more are capable of winning the feature. I can remember years back, there was about four or five cars that was always the ones that you constantly had to, you know, you could expect them to be the winners, and then there was another group, and then there was another group. Well, we don't have but two groups now. We have those that win and those that almost win. And
exactly.
The almost wins are right there all the time also. So it's probably the most competitive series around the country, with as many competitive vehicles and drivers that is involved.
Do these guys protect their leads?
They don't have mirrors, Jack.
Yeah, I understand that, but do they? Or is it like go fast, and if you're faster, you let them go? Or is that how they do it? Or you're shaking his head no.
They don't give up.
Well, no.
I mean, you.
But you don't know the guy's there until he's up beside you.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I mean, a guy pulled up on the side of you or the outside of you. Had it many times happen to me. I pull up on the inside of somebody, and they'll run me four laps hard, trying to shove me in the infield. They're not going to give that position
up.
I mean,
you got to
stick it in there, and you know, and that's the thing with Don was saying. A lot of the series that I'm used to running with, you know, there's two or three guys that win every weekend. You come to TBRA, I mean, there's 15, 18 guys that can win. So the speeds, I mean, to pass somebody that, you know, is running the same speeds as you, you know, and they're all hardcore racers. They've been around a while, and they've been doing it a lot. They're not going to give you that position, and right. It's hard to make the passes.
You're listening to Brian Gingras. He's talking about his rookie status at the TBRA as he's joined them this year to go wing sprint car racing. Joining us from home, Eric McMillan. Eric, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing today?
We're hanging in there, buddy. What's it been like running with the TBARA? I guess you've been there a year and a half now or a little better?
Yes, sir. I mean, just basically like Brian just said, I mean, it's awesome. It's a great group of people, and it's ran by some of the best people around. They, you know, Don does a great job of keeping the series where it needs to be, and I mean, I see it continuing to go the same way it is now.
Have you been impressed by the number of cars out for 2007, the competition level, so to speak, and the number of them that are showing up?
Yeah, I mean, I know that there in the beginning, there was, you know, they had a little bit of a lower car count, but I mean, it's definitely going back up where it needs to be.
Well, I know that these guys are sitting here talking about the competition level and so forth, just like you are. But what have you found to be the most difficult part of the TBARA? What's the hardest part of it?
I mean, to me, it's a whole number of things. I mean, I'm totally new to this type of racing. I mean, it's just. And to me, it's awesome, and it's cool to, you know, sit back and see some of these guys that have been around so long and just learn off them and,
you know, learn as much as you can.
Go ahead, Don. You have something to say to him?
No.
Whenever Eric came along and started his racing, what kind of things did you watch for in a young driver like that last year when he was starting up with you as his rookie?
Well, you're always looking to make sure that they have car control and the ability to know when to race, and if they get in being lapped or something of that nature, that, you know, they have enough knowledge and ability to control a car so that they're not putting anybody else or themselves in any kind of a bad situation. And he did an outstanding job. I think that he wanted to maybe start in his starting position a little earlier than his dad wanted him to do. But I know there was a couple times I think I heard him having a discussion about that. And then there was a couple times when I think Eric decided that maybe I don't want to start up there yet. The biggest thing is the person that runs one of our in our group pretty much knows their ability, and they don't come in there with I can, you know, this is a cakewalk and I can, you know, drive by everybody and that type of attitude. I don't see that in our association at all. They have a great deal of respect for the race cars and for the other participants also.
Eric, is that true? Did you come in and kind of have to decide when you would start in your regular position or when you maybe shouldn't yet?
Yes, sir. I mean, just like Don said, I wasn't trying to come in with a big head at all, and I knew my place, and I mean, I knew that this was going to be a learning experience, and I mean, I knew there were times when the car wouldn't, you know, near in race condition, and those were the times, you know, I decided to maybe sit back and just maybe get some seat time and just run around the track.
Well, I tell you what, it sounds like you're doing a pretty good job now. How comfortable are you in that wing sprint?
Well, I mean, all last year, we know we fought a couple of problems with power steering the whole year long, and, you know, we found out that we were running the wrong rear end in the car and everything. So, I mean, this year, you know, we got all that figured out and got the right gear in the car and got power steering where it needs to be. So, I mean, hopefully now we can start working on the setup and maybe get some more seat time and maybe take it from there and see how it goes.
Now, you know, Eric's got somebody, he's related to somebody in Florida racing. Eric, tell us who you're related to.
Oh, my grandfather is Larry McMillan. He's an announcer over at Citrus County Speedway.
He is a legend.
There you go. Yeah, he's the man.
He's definitely a legend.
And if I'm not mistaken, maybe him, Dave Westerman may have him, but they're the two longest running announcers still in Florida.
I believe so. Gotta be. Larry definitely is.
I don't know which one has, you know,
seniority.
A couple of years.
Which seniority, one has seniority?
Yeah, I don't know which one's the oldest. They've both been around a long enough time for like Rick and I and the other guys to take a peek and see what they're doing.
Yeah, right.
They sure do it right. That's awesome. Well, I tell you what, I know that you've been coming to the track then since you were a very, very young man, Eric. When did you start coming out the track, and when did you start racing in any kind of competition?
Oh, I mean, I've been out of the track ever since I was born. You know, I used to go to the go-kart races with my dad and out to East Bay and watch all the sprint cars run. And I didn't actually get my first go-kart until I was 7 years old, and that's where it all started there. But I mean, it's always been in my blood, and I've always been around it, and always been jonesing to race. And I mean, my dream was to race a sprint car, and now here I am. So I mean, I feel blessed.
Well, now is the TBRA the top of the ladder for you? You just like to hang around and enjoy it for year after year, or you got some plans to move up and go somewhere else and do something else?
Oh, I mean, like I said, I watched, you know, guys like Dave Steele and, you know, the Butlers and all them ever since I was a little kid. So, I mean, just to be running with them guys, I mean, if this is where it ends here, I mean, I'd be more than satisfied.
Hey, you can always load it up and go to the little 500 up in Anderson, Alabama, or Anderson, Indiana.
Yes, sir.
That's always a great place to get some real...
From what he's saying, though, you know, I mean, to watch all these guys while you're growing up and stuff, and now to be out there on the track with them, that's just awesome.
I mean, yeah, that's the coolest thing in the world to me.
Well, I know that you're probably in the same boat with Brian here. He's enjoying the heck out of it, even though he's only got a few races under his belt so far this year. But we'll look forward to seeing both you guys trying to get more victories and taking the opportunity to get moving to the front as you learn more about these cars.
Yes, sir.
Do you guys talk to each other? Have you talked to them?
No, actually, I haven't met them. I'm real new to it. I don't really know many of the people. I haven't had time, actually.
Well, when I met you, you were upside down under the car. So, oh, I mean, I realize that you're fairly busy down there trying to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I'm pretty serious about when we're at the track. And, you know, the success that I've had, you know, listening to McMillan talk about, you know, the struggles that he's had. The car that I got into, it was a top-notch ride. I was glad to actually get in that car. And he's got a... you know, the owner of the car, Craig Kugler, you know, he put me in it, and that took a lot, said a lot. I've got a lot of respect for him. He's a smart man, and also the that engineer I was talking about, Dick, with setups, that's who I was on the phone with most of the time, with the setups on that, and, you know, all the sponsors I have and the crew guys that helped me.
Eric, before I let you go, man, who's been helping you out? What's been going on?
This year, you know, we've been struggling. Actually, last year we struggled a lot, too. We don't really have too much sponsorship at all. We actually have one guy helping us right now, and our group of guys, and their company is called Turtle Southeast. And I mean, if it wasn't for them, you know, we would never be where we're at right now. I mean, we were down on money on the motor, and they flipped in and helped out. They've been there since day one, before we even had a car. So I mean, I really gotta set my hat off to them.
All right, man. We'll see you at the Charlotte County Motorsports Park for the Dick Freely Memorial, right?
Yes, sir. See you there.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
All right, take care.
Eric McMillan, ladies and gentlemen, stopping by and saying,
I got a quick
question
for Brian. You coming from motocross. What do you think about Ricky Carmichael just jumping in a late model like that?
Well, I kind of laughed. I read that on about that Lake City post.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of negative comments on that. And I almost put a post on there, but a few other people did for me. I can tell you right now that Ricky Carmichael will be one of the best auto racers that there will be. Just for the fact is, it takes so much talent to run motocross.
Right, and so I was going to ask you, what do you get out of from motorcycles to cars? I mean, what reaction time? What is
reactions?
It?
I mean, you get memorization. You get remember the whole track. You got to go out the first thing, memorize the whole track, and there's a ton of different lines, and the bike's doing all different kinds of things, and it's all timing. You got to land on the downside, you know, with jumps, and you have to time it. You're jumping, you know, 80 foot across something, 30 foot in the air. And you got to time it perfect or you're breaking a bone. And that's the problem that I had every year in motocross. You know, if you're serious about it, you're breaking a bone.
Well, 99% of those motocross drivers, too, know every inch of that motorcycle.
Yeah.
Quite a few of our racers out here don't even know what they're sitting in.
When I got into cars, too, you know, my uncle knew quite a bit about them. We built them, you know, but we didn't have top-notch equipment. We didn't have engineers behind us. You know, like Carmichael now, he's getting in something that's serious.
Right.
You know, it's going to make him learn a lot quicker. And I'd say within 3 years, I'm sure he'll be in Cup winning races. I mean, he's got such a backing behind him that, you know, I'm pretty damn confident. Almost I can bet you $1 million he'll be there.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely the determination factor's there just from what he put out in motocross itself.
Right, and I actually got the when I was racing motocross, too, I was always coming down to Florida and I raced professional, too, and I saw him coming up, you know, him and Bubba Stewart. You know, Bubba was running, we were running at Gainesville, at the gate of Nashville over there, and he was running 50cc, jumping and stuff, and everybody was saying that kid's going to be good. And Carmichael was on a 80, actually, with a 105cc bike, and we were running 125s, you know, at the pro track, and he was turning the same lap times.
You know, I heard about that. I heard about that.
Then I said when he got on a 250, he won't be able to do it. He's too short, not going to work.
Right.
He proved me wrong on that one.
Now, how do the fans from motocross, do they transfer over? Do a lot of them come to NASCAR races and stuff?
Yeah, they do. They definitely do. You know, it's racing. And, they're all into it. Like, a lot of guys, when I got out of it, I got out of racing, you know, motocross, and I still keep track with, you know, a few of the people that I dealt with. And, matter of fact, a couple of guys coming from Texas were supposed to come out there to Ocala to watch it. They thought it was pretty cool. I was in a sprint car now. And but, yeah, they definitely do.
Well, I tell you what, we're getting down to the end of it, but we'll make sure we get everybody out to the Dick Freely Memorial, right?
Exactly. We want everybody to come out. I think it'll be an outstanding show. We'll have plenty of cars and, you know, extra laps. And you know, we haven't been there in quite some time, so... I think it'll just be rejuvenating experience for everybody to come out and be there.
What does that mean, Don, to be back at Charlotte?
Most everybody really likes the racetrack. So, you know, naturally, we didn't really want to give up a racetrack. Just circumstances were beyond our control on that. And quit laughing, Jack. So, I mean, you know, it's what it is. And now we're back, and, you know, hopefully we'll continue to be there, and everybody will, you know. I had, Bobby said earlier, you know, the people that were down here for the winter and places like that, I had numerous people, you know, just email me and was somewhat, I don't know, belligerent maybe is the word I want to use. Well, why don't you go to Charlotte County anymore? Well, I just answered the thing and just asked them to contact the racetrack and get their answer from them. It wasn't our decision, you know. It's just a matter of we have a purse structure, and, you know, it's the same for everyone that we race at. So that's, you know, what we asked, and, you know, it wasn't agreed upon or whatever. They didn't want to pay that, so. You know, we couldn't go for
it. Well, I mean, it's obvious. John, what, 7 times this year? 8 times?
We raced 8, yes.
At DeSoto, I mean, 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. At DeSoto, we raced 7 times this year. We raced twice now.
When John brings an outside series in, it's working for him.
Oh, yeah.
Right. No doubt about it. Besides that, he's like a little kid when y'all.
You're going to find when you come to Charlotte County Motorsports Park this time, it's actually going to be a real different experience, because the only thing that's going to be the same, really, is the track, because the place is completely, it's a different, it's the same space, but it's a different place.
Well, that's what I've been told. I've had a number of people that said that, you know, that you won't recognize the place or anything about it. And to me, that'd be great. I mean, you know, I'm glad that Bobby is been able to rejuvenate and put new life back into the place, because it had been beat up pretty bad. I mean, I don't know, you know, there was a lot of problems with it, and it just seemed like it was, you know, on a downhill spiral, and, you know, Bobby has rejuvenated it, so.
Yeah, he saved it pretty well. Now, I got to ask you, though, in closing here, kind of, I've talked to you several years back over the years about going to places 7, 8 times, and you've always worried about the fans getting a little tired and not those last few races not being as good as the first 4, 3 or whatever. What kind of changed your mind? Is it the economics of the situation, the number of tracks
you're
able to get to? Or
have you ever tried to tell John no?
I'm not answering that damn question.
I look right at Rick. Rick's saying,
The thing is, though, the TBRA, though, Don, is that it never gets old. Not so far, anyway.
I don't think so either.
Well, I did experience a situation that, and what made me make the statement that I made. We raced at a track, and it was once a month for the whole season, and we raced on the same week of the month. Or the same
that
weekend.
That might get old. I can see that.
And by the end of the time, I was an SOB because I wasn't putting no people in his grandstand. Well, excuse me, I brought the same amount of cars or more cars. We just saturated the fan base, and it's like anything else. I think you can overextend yourself.
I think
in the past you've had school bus races.
Exactly.
They kind of.
Perfect example.
You know, then we had to have figure eight school bus races, and you know, and it's not the thrill that it was at one time.
It's not the novelty.
And Rick, you know, nobody ever improved on what we saw at Hialeah the first time.
No doubt.
And I think one of the things that's changed it also too, that you'll find that more people will keep coming back to the track to see the TBRA. Is the media and the way the tracks are starting to approach it. Jack's taken years to convince them that it's really worth the effort to put the media out there, whether it be a little extra advertisement on the radio or in a newspaper, or on the web. I mean, it's just starting to work, and people are catching on.
Well, I totally agree with that. And, you know, we do have something to offer the spectator, and, you know, you joke about running a feature in 7-8 minutes. Well, that makes them come back because, damn, they didn't get all their, you know, what they wanted right. to see, you know. And the whole point of this series, I think, is one of the things is to be able to make them, when they walk out the gate, say, well, I can't afford not to miss them when they come back, or I want to travel someplace else. So need to let Brian talk some more.
I just wanted to real quick thank the sponsor who made all this possible. Constructive Solutions, Ram Engineering, 21st Century Fabrication, Bilstein Shocks, and actually Jim Hyland from Bilstein is actually the one that introduced me to Craig last year at Speed Weeks, and that's probably why I'm sitting in the car right now. Competition Coatings, there's all the ceramic coatings, powder coating, and Phantom Graphics, and also the crew that helped me out, my Aunt Gail, Iggy, Billy Jones, Louis Ventresca, who's one of the other car owners that I used to drive for, Rick Lundeen, Sonny O'Sullivan, guys who I run the open wheel light cars with. They come out when they're not racing to help us.
Awesome. That's pretty cool. Nice run. I tell you what, folks, if you're out there listening and you haven't never been to a TBRA event, you need to make the trek. You haven't seen Charlotte County Motorsports Park either, probably, then go down. Take a look at the track, take a look at the class and the series that runs, because it is an awesome deal.
You won't
deal.
Be disappointed.
No,
no doubt not. About it.
Even if you got to pay $5 extra. Good God.
It's worth every penny.
Every penny. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. We hope you get a great group of cars and a great fan count, and everything just goes well and super through the weekend and the rain stays away.
That's the biggest concern is the rain. the rest of the stuff I know will come because it always does.
All right. So, Don Ream, Brian Gingras, and Eric McMillan. I want to thank them for joining us. Got to thank all the Magic Fours, the girls and the boys that came out, Chelsea LaJoy, Brittany Barr, Jessica Ostroskis, and Albert Nail, Bill Lake, and Katie Regner. So we all appreciate everything they've done, their parents taking the time to bring them, and we look forward to seeing them racing more in the future. Well, done already?
Fine.
All right, buddy.
Damn that cloud. Another week of Real Racing USA. Thank everybody who listened in this week. Don't forget, next Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. right here at the elegant Snook River Grill. Good night now. I was thinking about a woman that had loved me. I never knew. You know, I've always been a dreamer. Spent my life running around, and it's so. But the dreams I've seen lately, they keep on turning out and burning out and turning out the same. So put me on a highway and show me a sign and take it to the limit. One more time. Now you can spend all your time making money.